You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Unfortunately, our guest, Roger Moss, for some reason, is not with us. We just haven't been able to reach him, and we only have one source of connecting with him, and so he's not available, and that's a bit of a surprise to me because he had sent me the things he would like to talk about today, the things I ask, as I usually do, ask my corporate guests what they would like to be sure to focus on, and Roger did send me some things, and what he told me, the things he'd like to focus on, such things as the big vein drilling updates from where they've had some phenomenal intercepts, very rich, high-grade intercepts, looking very much like those just south of that particular point that are being reported by Newfound Gold. He wanted to talk about some new pristine targets to the north of the Big Vein. The significance of that being that those are surface samples or soil samples that were taken, and what it suggests is that they're looking at a source that's very, very close to where they're finding these samples. 7.5 kilometer long belt of rocks. And they just barely started, and they're having success right from the get-go, which I think is very, very encouraging. And then there is a new discovery they just made that's real close to the Newfoundland border to the south, and that's called the Golden Glove Update. So Roger was going to talk about all those things. It's the company has got a market cap of about $143 million in Canadian money. It's selling at 93 cents in Canadian dollars earlier today, 153.7 million shares. LAB is the symbol in Canada, NKOSF in the United States, and that's the way I've purchased my shares. I do own them. I'm very excited about Labrador, and I think with the gold bull market now just starting to move higher or starting the next leg up, notwithstanding today's sort of correction, I would say, that we're on to, I think, the next major move higher in the gold market, which should do wonders for the junior mining sector. And I should say the junior mining sector, despite the fact that gold itself and the share prices have not performed very well over the last number of months, there's been no shortage of money moving into the gold sector, certainly as the Federal Reserve and other central banks around the world continue to create money out of nothing and throw it into the monetary system. There are people out there that recognize this is a very dangerous game that they're playing in terms of the future of our monetary system and our economy and our society as a whole, and they are seeking to protect themselves. Certainly large hedge fund guys are throwing a bit of their portfolios into gold, and gold is such a small market relative to other markets that it doesn't take a lot of buying power to cause the gold price to move higher. Compared to the treasury markets, it's really a baby. And, of course, silver is a fraction of what the gold markets are. And that's why silver in bull markets for precious metals tends to outperform gold. And, of course, gold falls less than silver during bear markets. But I think we're positioned now for the next run-up. And so it's a shame that Roger's not with us. Perhaps Matt, my engineer, will get in touch with him before we finish. I should say that Quentin Henning has agreed to come along next week, so he'll most certainly have a few words to say about Labrador. He knows it very well as a geologist, and I know has Crescat Capital invested in Labrador as well. So what I thought I would do, since in Roger's absence, is talk to you a little bit about what I spoke about in Vancouver at the Metals Investor Forum, and that video of that, of my talk, as well as the other newsletter writers were at the conference, will be available, and I will let you know when it's available to view my talk as well as the others if you care to. and as well as the talks by the various companies that were invited to the conference. I titled my my talk at the Metals Investor Forum, Why Inflation is Not Transitory and the Great Crossover is Underway. And I started out my talk by mentioning The Fourth Turning. It's a book that I think is very important, a very important read of history and an understanding of the historical cycles that societies and monetary systems go through. It's a cycle, I think, that you can go back to and look at in biblical times. So it's nothing new. Human nature doesn't change over time. And when we go through really rough times, we can tend to sort of purify ourselves in some ways. We become, let's say, more aware of our things, of things that we're doing that we shouldn't do. And then humans tend to go through a period of time in which they sort of shape up, as you might say, and live responsibly again and treat each other better, spend their money more responsibly, and live in a way that is, I would say, more godly and more more in tune with what brings about happiness and good health. Well, my engineer tells me now, I guess I will have to continue this some other time. I went on to give some reasons why, as we move away from free market capitalism to corporatism or fascism, if you will, why we're going to have some very difficult times. And I think we're starting to see it now in the policies that have been increasingly leaning more towards socialism, away from capitalism, more towards government control, away from freedom of individuals. And I think that's going to be very bad for the prosperity and the happiness and creativity of society. I guess maybe that's a good preview to my talk, and I'll mention some reasons why I'm convinced that inflation is not transitory. But now that we do have Roger, and I'm thankful he's here, let me say hello to Roger. Roger, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, Jay. Sorry, there was I'm a bit late there. It was tied up.
Well, I can imagine you're tied up for good reasons. Probably a lot of people would like to tie you up and just take away those claims from Labrador and put them in their own pockets. I don't know why you're tied up. A man as you, a busy man, a man as responsible as you are going to have a lot of people tugging at him. So I fully understand, Roger, and I want to thank you so much for joining us. Well, I won't spend time on your biography other than say that you've had a rich history as a exploration geologist, a great deal of success, making one multi-million ounce gold discovery in Namibia. And you've been all around the world as a geologist, and you also do some teaching at the University of Toronto in your field. So I did tell people the symbol and all that stuff. So let's jump right into your Kingsway property. It covers 77 square kilometers along the same belt of rocks as Newfound's Queensway project. That looks to me, Roger, like they've got a multi-million ounce gold discovery underway. Time will tell, of course. But most of the drilling carried out so far in your, I think, 50,000 meter program that you have now is focused on the Big Vein target, located towards the southern end of your property, closer to the Newfound property. And you've had some magnificent high-grade intercepts that look very much like the numbers that have come out from Newfound. And just last week, for example, I think it was last week that you reported 76.24 grams of gold per ton over a half a meter and 32.5 grams over 8/10 of a meter. Those are narrow widths, but very, very rich. What can you tell us that you have learned so far about Big Vein?
Yeah, thanks, Jay. We're getting through the meters in the 50,000 meter drill program. What we've learned is that when we started drilling Big Vein, that was what we expected. We expected a fairly wide vein that would hopefully have some good grades with it. And over the course of the last 6 months, we've learned that, in fact, in this area, we now have three discrete zones, Big Vein being just one of them. So in addition to Big Vein, we have the HTC zone, which we've announced results from in the past, and that tends to be quite high grade. So some of those high grade intersections that you mentioned would have been from the HTC zone. But recently we've found that we have a third zone, a little deeper than the HTC zone. And that's what we call that the HTC football zone. So, we're still in the process of delineating that zone a little better, but we're confident enough now to say that yes, we have three zones that we know of so far at Big Vein.
Are these steeply dipping deep veins structures or what?
Yeah, the HTC zone itself is very steeply plunging. It's probably plunging at about 70 degrees down to the southwest. We've drilled it to about 200 meters vertically, and mm-hmm. it's still open. And we are in the process of testing below that 200 meter depth to see if we can continue hitting it at deeper. Big Vein is not as steeply plunging. It's plunging to the southwest more moderately, probably on the order of about 50 degrees. And the mm-hmm. those two zones are separated by what we call Big Vein Fault. And mm-hmm. that's interesting because, of course, wherever you have faults, you have ways for fluid to move around and potentially deposit the gold. And that fault, so far as we can tell, is behaving pretty well so far. And then the HTC football zone, we don't really have a good handle on that yet because I think we're going to have about four intersections into it. But it seems to be probably paralleling the HTC zone, but just a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm. So you'll continue to work on the Big Vein and those other two through the end of this year into next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean we're continuing to drill down to the southwest. As I mentioned, both those Big Vein and HTC zone plunge down to the southwest. Big Vein a little bit more shallowly. So yeah, we're stepping out down to the southwest and also drilling deeper down underneath the HTC zone. So mm-hmm. there are two drills there and another drill that's now working out in a more regional area.
Mm-hmm. How closely do you think what you've discovered so far parallels what Newfound has discovered just south of you along the same belt of rocks?
Well, I think the mineralization is pretty well identical from what I can tell. The difference, of course, is that Newfound has put out longer intersections of high grade gold. So that's one of the things that we're still struggling with a little bit. We certainly have the grade, but we don't mm-hmm. have those 20 meter, 10 meter intervals of those grades just yet. But the mineralization itself, I think it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Labrador has reported that all along the Appleton Fault, that's that major structure that seems to be so important in this area for mineralization, is that you've reported all along the fault you have intermittent quartz vein outcrops. And as your exploration team has walked over those outcrops, you've found till samples with pristine gold grains. As a geologist, can you explain to our listeners why not only the fact that gold occurrences is important, but also the significance of the pristine nature of those gold grains? Could you explain that to our listeners?
Yes. So this was a very exciting find for us. We did the till sampling earlier in the summer. And we got the results back probably about a couple of months ago. And I put out the news release, and people were confused, I think, and which is probably my fault for not explaining it very well in the news release. But to me, this was really exciting because when we have pristine gold grains, now you have to imagine that these gold grains have been deposited by glaciers that have scraped these gold grains off of some rock as they went over the surface, and as those glaciers melted and retreated, they dropped these gold grains and other bits of rock and sediment that make up the till samples. They dropped all that out of the glacier as the glaciers retreated. So what we can say when we look at these gold grains, because they're pristine, and what that means is that they have really sharp edges and pointy mm-hmm. edges. And as you know, gold is very malleable. So if you abrade a grain like that for any length of time, it's just going to be folded over and rounded up into a ball like a gold nugget. Mm-hmm. But clearly that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. So what is really exciting about that, those gold grains, is that they didn't come very far. Mm-hmm. And the consultants that did the work for us believe that it's unlikely that they came further than 200 meters away.
Wow.
So what we have is now between Big Vein and those till samples, there's another source of gold that produced those gold grains.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, we have a drill looking for that source.
Mm-hmm. Can you drill through the winter up there?
Yes, we can. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, I have to ask you about a new discovery, the Golden Glove, which is right down there almost very close anyway to Newfound's property. What can you tell us about Golden Glove?
Well, the funny thing about Golden Glove is that the name came about because the prospectors that were sampling the vein, one of them had a pair of gloves on. He wears gloves in the field to protect his hands. And when they finished sampling, there were all these flecks of gold on his gloves. And so that's where the name came from, Golden Glove. We had some incredible assays from that outcrop. Now this is an outcrop of quartz with gold with visible gold in it, and the assays that we got from there was something like 340 grams a ton, 190 grams a ton, 84 grams a ton. Now these are all grab samples, so we just hammered them off and put them in the sample bag and sent them off for assay. But what's really interesting about this is that these are as good or better than the initial samples that we got from Big Vein a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very excited to be doing more work down in that area. And we're in the process of getting our permit applications in for drilling. And we expect that we'll be able to be doing something there early next year. And that's going to be really exciting because that could be as good or better than Big Vein.
Oh, well, we'll have to look forward to that. Certainly, how much of the 50,000 meters have been completed, your current drill program? How many, are there a lot of assays in the lab yet waiting to be released?
Yes, there are always lots of assays in the lab. Or samples in the lab, yeah. We have about, I think we're probably up to about 17,000-18,000 meters. And I would think, now I'd have to try and remember how many assays we've got back, but we're usually at the point of about 60% of assays that we've received, so there's probably about 40% mm-hmm. still in the lab.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're well funded to get into to move into next year.
Yeah, so the funding is we still have about 30 million Canadian in the bank, mm-hmm. and so that's certainly good enough to complete our 50,000 meter drill program and probably enough to double it to 100,000. So not that I'm saying we're going to do that right now, but mm-hmm. If we continue continue to have success, especially when we start drilling some of these regional targets, then I could see the drill program growing pretty easily.
We have, like, I believe something like 7.5 kilometers of strike to explore, and you've basically just nipped the surface, I guess, at this stage, right?
Yeah, well, I think a big vein, we've probably drilled about 400 meters, and there's 7.5 kilometers of what we call that quartz vein corridor, mm-hmm. and beyond that, there's probably another 4.5 kilometers along the Appleton Fault that's further to the north. So, there's a lot of very prospective ground along that fault that we still have to explore significantly.
All right, Roger, we'll have to leave it go at that, but I thank you for the update, and we'll be looking forward to drill results and keeping up with your story as we go forward. Thank you so much for your time today, Roger.
Oh, you're welcome, Jay. Thank you.
All right, folks, we do have to go to break now, but Alistair McLeod will be with me right afterwards to talk about the milestones on the way towards a currency destruction. Not a happy story, but one we want to be ready for as much as possible. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Alistair McLeod.
Lion One Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barikoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.